Well, we've kind of come to the end of the summer. This week, this morning, if you've got your Bibles, if you would want to with me, if you'd want to turn to the book of Philemon, it's page 1183. I give you the page number because it's only one page long and you might get lost trying to find it, if you have to try to locate it. So if you have the Red Pew Bibles, you can find it there. Most of you realize we're kind of finishing up the summer now. This is kind of the last of the little letters of God that we've been looking at. This over the summer, the past ones that we've done, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, and now Philemon. These are the books of the New Testament that are only one chapter long, and so we've been kind of spending our time working on them through the remainder of the summer as we kind of began the summer in Hebrews and ended it in these little books of God. Alrighty, the book of Philemon, you should have found it by now. Let's read together this one chapter of Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. To Apphia, our sister. To Archippus, our fellow soldier. And to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I'm sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but even better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. Not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more. Prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Such be the reading of the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, this morning I pray that your Spirit would now be able to speak through me, your servant, the truth of your Word written by Paul. And Father, as you have spoken to me this past week in the writing and the preparation of the message that I have prepared for this morning, so, Father, I pray also now that you would speak through me to your people. and that, Father, you would bless us by your word and through your word and by your obedience to your word. And so, Father, speak to us this morning, I pray, asking it in the power and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name I pray and I ask it. And for his glory alone, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. In his name, amen. All right, I want to begin this morning by asking you a question. You can join with Tyler if you want to with me this morning. Say, how many of you have trouble asking somebody for a favor? You just don't like to do it. All right. Whether that was because of your upbringing and the way you were brought up, in the sense of, well, you don't want to impose, you don't want to cause any problem, you don't want to be a bother to anybody. And so you don't like asking anybody of a favor simply because you don't want to impose upon them. You don't want to be a bother. You don't want to be a nag. You don't want to always be asking for something. Or maybe others don't like to ask because they would rather be independent. I don't need anybody else's help. I don't want anybody else's help. I don't need to ask you a favor. I can do it myself. I'll take care of it myself. I'll do it myself. There's a sense in which I've kind of had this idea of the fact that there are those today who buy it, and there are those today who borrow it. So do you want to buy it, or are you going to borrow it? What are you going to do? Because to borrow it means you're going to cost you some money. All right, or excuse me, to buy it means you're going to inflict the pain upon yourself. It's going to cost you a little bit to have to buy it for yourself, but you're not going to bother anybody. Or to borrow it means you might have to bother somebody, but at the same time get the benefit that you don't have to make your purchase yourself. And so we recognize that oftentimes it's difficult to come to an understanding of, do I want to ask somebody a favor? Do I want to bother them and look at them or cause them a problem? This morning we want to look at the little letter written by Paul to Philemon. It's only one chapter long. Some scholars would even argue, why is it even in the Bible? Because really the spiritual benefits seem to be, it's not to a church, it's not a great theological doctrine, there's no teachings of Christ as the Son of God or any great theological teachings. It's simply Paul sharing his heart with his dear friend Philemon, whom many scholars believe Paul himself had led to the Lord, as we'll make reference to later on when we come to the message. It was written by Paul to Philemon concerning a problem or a difficulty that Paul had been made aware of. And as a result of the difficulty, the problem that Paul is facing, he needs to ask Philemon of a favor. A favor which, to many, and to Paul, we'll get into it in the text, it's really kind of an obligation, but Paul's presenting it as a favor. Philemon, this is something which you really need to do. I'm not going to tell you to do it. I'm simply going to ask you if you would do it. And so we see Philemon coming to, or so we see Paul writing to Philemon from his heart. You see a couple of places, verse 12, who is my very heart. And later on as well, he talks about his very heart being involved in what he's writing to Philemon. But let me take a few moments to kind of express to you the situation that Paul faces with Philemon. Paul himself finds himself imprisoned. We know that because he talks about in his chains, that Paul himself as a prisoner, verse 1 of Jesus Christ. Paul himself as a prisoner of Christ in verse 9. Paul himself referring to the one who is in chains. And so we recognize that Paul finds himself as a prisoner. And as Paul is a prisoner, he somehow meets a man by the name of Onesimus. Onesimus comes unto Paul. Somehow, we don't know how they got together, whether Onesimus was put in jail as well and became Paul's likewise, or whether Onesimus visited the jail with somebody else and got to know Paul. In fact, we come to realize from the letter that Onesimus becomes saved through Paul. That's why Paul writes him and says, as my child, or Paul writes to them, indicating the fact that he has become my son while I was in chain, verse 10. And so we recognize that Paul leads Onesimus to Christ. And Paul and Onesimus become best of buddies. Onesimus now becomes his good co-worker, serving the Lord with him, doing what Paul needs him to do. But also there becomes a problem. Now, whether Paul was aware of it at the beginning or aware of it at the end, somehow Paul becomes aware of the fact that Onesimus is a runaway slave. Whether Onesimus was sent on a journey for his master, or whether Onesimus somehow dug out and slipped away. Now, let me just kind of say the fact that because our American mentality of slavery is the slavery that we've learned from the South, we picture all slavery in those terms. We must understand that the biblical idea of slavery is not that idea of necessarily owning somebody. You own them, but after 7 years, you set them free. And if they want to stay with you, you pierce their ear. And so we see the biblical idea of slavery is not a person whom you own and you sell as barter. But here we see Onesimus is a slave who has run away from his master. It's very possible he stole some money before he ran. And Paul finds out that Onesimus' master is Philemon, one whom Paul likewise had shared the faith with and led to faith in the Lord, one to whom Paul likewise was a good friend, a fellow servant, a fellow soldier, one whom Paul remembered the work that he had done with him in his faith. And so Paul recognizes that he has to send Onesimus back to Philemon to reunite this slave, this runaway slave, and his master. That is what is right. But Paul decides, I will send you a letter to take to Philemon, that he likewise might be able to understand it. And so Paul sends here now with Onesimus, possibly a letter, or Tychicus, whoever it is. We're not sure whether he sends it with Onesimus or not. It doesn't say. But Paul sends him this letter to Philemon, asking him to, first of all, forgive Onesimus, your runaway slave. Secondly, set him free. And thirdly, possibly even send him back to me, for he will be useful to me. So there's a sense in which Paul has a favor to ask of Philemon. And that favor that he's going to ask of Philemon sets the tone for the letter that we're looking at this morning. And so there is a sense in which, and let me just kind of let you know that if you wanted to turn back to Colossians chapter 4, you would find there the fact that many scholars believe that Philemon was written at the same time as Colossians, and in fact was delivered to the Philemon as the letter of Colossus. Colossians was also delivered to the people in Colossae. So it's very possible that Philemon lives in Colossae. We don't know. We do know that he lives in the region of Colossae. In Colossians 4, verse 7, it says, Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances, and that he may encourage your hearts. Verse 9 of Colossians chapter 4 says, he is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. Some people make reference to that with the fact that when he comes to Colossae and Onesimus comes back to Philemon, he'll explain everything that's been going on with Onesimus. Now again, much of that is conjecture, but it's based upon the understanding of what these scriptures are saying. So what I want to do this morning is I want to draw what I've got down here to be four requirements of asking a favor. If you're going to ask a favor of somebody, here's some requirements that maybe you should think about or be concerned about or be looking at as you come to ask somebody else a favor. What's the first one? Number one, are you ready to go? Number one, if you're going to ask somebody a favor, you need to have a relationship. It really is much easier to ask somebody to do something for you if you know them, isn't it? And if you know them well, and if you are in a relationship with one another that enables you to be able to ask your dear friend to do this for you. Now, I have to recognize this morning that I don't believe my life would have been near as easy, or I would have been able to survive in the ministry here if I didn't ask a few people favors. I mean, there are times in which I've had to call some of you at different times and say, hey, my car's broken down on the side of the road. Can you come and help me? And you've come with your trailer and picked it up and hauled it to my place or hauled it to a dealer where it, not a dealer, but to a repair shop where it could be fixed. And there have been times in which there have been those of you who are amongst us, and I could point you guys out and I could say it, but I'm trying to do this as anonymously as I can as I think about it. There are others of you who I call and say, hey, I need to work on my car. Can I come and use your garage and your tools to fix my car? And will you help me? There are those to whom I know I can go and get help because I need a favor to be done. There are others that I've had to call and say, hey, can I borrow a tool for you for a minute? I'm doing work on the house and I need this tool. And sure, come and get it done. My point is the fact that there have been many times in which I've had to ask many of you a favor and have been blessed as a result of it because of the relationship that we have with one another. Now, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, we see it's written by Paul and Timothy to Philemon, just as likewise Paul and Timothy are the ones who write Colossians and write to the people of Colossae. And so that's why the connection is often made. To Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. So we see that Paul has a relationship with Philemon that is based upon his faith in Christ. That's the foundation. Because of the faith that they have in Christ together, they're able to share together in the relationship they have with one another, and also because of their fellow work together that they've done. Philemon is our dear friend and a fellow worker. He served alongside of Paul. And so Paul knew the work that he had done for him. Paul knew Philemon's tendencies. Philemon, Paul knew all about Philemon and the relationship he had with him. And then he goes on as well to say, and to the church that meets in your home. Paul was familiar with the things that were happening in the life of Philemon. Paul had established a relationship with Philemon that went beyond just friendship. To me, they were dear friends and fellow workers. We'll look at that in just a moment as well. And so we see that when, in order for Paul to ask Philemon of a favor, the first requirement was that they had a relationship with one another. They knew one another. And so Paul was not at all afraid to ask Philemon for a favor, a very important favor that I'll get to later on in a moment, and as well to ask Philemon a very difficult favor in the releasing and in the treating of Onesimus. And so Paul comes to him and says, hey, I have a favor to ask of you, Philemon. And that favor is being asked in the ground of a relationship. Secondly, we'll see that the second requirement of asking a favor is that they have a reputation. Now, I recognize as I put this term down and as I kind of laid the pen down and thought about it, there are some people that say, well, you know, I have a reputation that I'm always borrowing something. Oh, it's Don again. What do you want? All right. But there's a sense in which what Paul is writing here is he's writing concerning Philemon and the reputation that Philemon has as one who's always been there for him. We pick it up in verse 4. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Paul says, I've heard about your love for the saints and the faith that you have in Jesus Christ. And so Philemon, you have a reputation of being one to whom I can come and make an appeal. You're one to whom I can ask a request. You're one to whom I know I can turn when I have need. Now, what is Philemon's reputation? Let me run quickly through it. I've got down here five things that Philemon had a reputation for. First of all, we had a huge reputation for his faith. I remember in you in my prayers because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the faith that Philemon has in Christ that allows them to be bound together in a like faith, in a common understanding, that gives Paul the opportunity to ask Philemon this favor. Philemon, you and I share together a faith in Christ. Now, let me kind of take a moment to just back off this a little bit and kind of just try to get a little bit more practical and try to get a little bit more understanding. Several years ago, here in the central Illinois area, and I was going to go in my, I think if I went to my old desk office and found what I needed to find. How many of you remember they come out with, and I can't remember what it was called, but basically it was a Christian telephone book. Okay? You remember that they came out with it? Shepherd's Guide. Thank you, Lord, or whoever. All right? The Shepherd's Guide. It was a small phone book, and basically, you know, every advertisement had a little fish in the corner because they all claimed to be Christian businesses. And so the idea behind it was if you would get the Shepherd's Guide and you're a Christian, you know who you can call that is a Christian, who to do work on your car or who to do things for you. Now, let me think about that for a moment. Is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? I can say it's a good thing on the one hand, right? Because you know that the person you're dealing with is another fellow believer in Christ. That's good, right? Right? You also know that who you're dealing with, if they're a believer, you're going to pray that they do their work as unto the Lord, not unto the dollar. You understand what I'm saying? That the work that they will do will be quality work because they're fellow believers in Christ and they're going to do their work under the Lord. But one of the things that also can happen is that if you're a Christian and you're dealing with a Christian, when you make the application, it's kind of like, hi, I'm Don. I need some car work done on my car, and I see that you're a Christian too. As a Christian brother, I'm sure you would much rather give me a 10% discount because I'm a Christian brother. Let me ask you this question. Some of you are smiling. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? That because they're Christian and you're a Christian, hey, we're all Christians here. Let's all just kind of help each other out. And there are many Christian brothers who are doing service to the Lord through the work that they do who will tell me, Don, the worst people I deal with are Christians. Now, can I say that we need to change our thinking in this area? Because wouldn't you, as a Christian business person who gets called and said that, who says, I need to have you do some work in my car, wouldn't you like to say, hey, because I'm a Christian, I feel like you would give me a tip, a bonus. Why don't you give me more because I'm a Christian? So you see my point. Paul is writing to Philemon on the basis of his faith, saying, Philemon, I need to ask you a favor. In the, you're dealing with Onesimus, as I'm sending him back to you as your slave. Philemon, I need you to be careful. I need you to deal with this situation for me, and I need you to accept him back again. But when we come to understanding this, and people have a reputation of being Christian, then we need to also deal with it. Now, the second thing that I could say, and I have a little bit of time left, but a little bit of time to say about this, is the fact that wouldn't it also be equally effective to deal with a non-Christian if you're going to share your faith with him? You see, do Christians only deal with and always deal with only Christians because we share a faith that's common together? But if that's the case, then how do we reach out to non-Christians or do business with non-Christians or try to share our faith with non-Christians if all we do is do business with Christians all the time? So anyways, my point is this becomes an area in which, like I say, one of the requirements of asking a favor is the fact that there's a reputation involved here and for their faith in Jesus. And secondly, I can go down my list rather quickly now because I've pretty well covered everything I need to talk about in it. But your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Philemon, I see that you love the brothers in Christ. And so if you love the brothers in Christ, then you need to love this one whom I'm sending back to you, Onesimus, as your brother, and you need now to love him too. And sometimes that can become difficult. What's the saying that goes on? Help me out maybe if I can get it. Oh, for to be with those in glory. To be with those we know in glory above or whatever, that will be glory. But to commune with saints here below, oh, that's another story. It's something of that nature. Anybody got it? You can help me out with it or not. But anyways, sometimes we are not as loving here on earth as what we can be and what we need to be in heaven. And so he has a reputation for loving the saints. He has a reputation for sharing the gospel. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Philemon, you understand the goodness of God. You demonstrate the goodness of God to others. You know what it is to have a good God, to have goodness demonstrated unto you, to know the grace of God and the mercy of God and the peace of God. You know all these things and you have a full understanding of all the good things that we have in Christ. And lastly, put down here, he has a reputation for encouraging others. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Philemon, here's what you have done. And here's what I thank God when I remember you in my prayers. Here's what I pray for you. Philemon, you have a good reputation in the faith and in the love you share with one another. And so, as Paul writes to him and asks him of a favor, he acknowledges the very basis by which he's going to ask this favor is your reputation for goodness and mercy and faith and love and the gospel. Now, let me go on thirdly. If you're going to ask a favor, you need to have a relationship with the person. You can base your favor upon their reputation. And thirdly, you need to have a request that you ask them. Here, Paul finally gets to his request to Paul. Here, he finally asks him what he needs to have done. Here is the favor. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, now the NIV translates it an old man. The Greek word is presbytos. It's the same word that's used for elder. So I really prefer to translate it as Paul, an elder. Again, showing the authority by which Paul is writing him. I, Paul, an old man, or I would translate it, an elder, and now also a prisoner of Christ, I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. So what is Paul's request? Or how does Paul make his request? First of all, I put down here, Paul could be bold and command him. Hey, I need your help. Help me. You're a fellow believer in Jesus. You're a fellow follower of Jesus. You're one who loves the saints and you're a part of our church. Can you help me? Paul says, I could have became bold. I could have been directive. I could have, you know, taken your hand and twisted it behind your back to make you. Now, sometimes that tends to be the tactics by which we get you to do nursery work or to get you to be a Sunday school teacher or get you to join the Awana. But Paul's not using that tactic. Paul's saying, I'm not commanding you to do this. I could be bold and command you in order for you to do what you ought to do. This is what you ought to do. And the word there for ought is an obligation. There's a spiritual obligation for you to do this. But he says, I appeal to you on the basis of love. And so Paul doesn't make his request based upon his boldness to command, but upon the appeal to his conscience. Philemon, I'm appealing to you based upon your love, based upon your faith in Jesus Christ, your love for the saints. And now I appeal to you based upon this basis of love that, Philemon, you will do this not because you have to, but because you want to. Because you love him. You got to realize what he's asking him to do. I guess I'll get to that to my third point and then I'll go to there. I'm asking this. I appeal to you on the basis of your love. And then I, Paul, as an old man, as an elder, now also as a prisoner of Christ, I appeal to you. There twice it is. There it is again. I appeal to you. I'm not commanding you. I appeal to you. I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to me and to you. To me, Paul speaks of the importance of which he is addressing. Now, scholars make a big deal about the fact that Onesimus' word means useful. And so, in essence, Paul is making a play on Onesimus' words. He used to be useful to me. He wasn't very useful to you, but he will be useful to me. And Paul is basically showing to him the importance of the request by which he is making. Philemon, I'm asking you to do this. I'm appealing to you on your love for him. And I'm appealing to you also on the basis of his usefulness to me. Forgive him. Set him free. And if be, send him back to me. He's useful to me. I'll use him, even if you won't or can't. And so we see Paul's argument to Philemon is one to basically say, when Onesimus comes back, Philemon, accept him as a brother, not as a runaway slave. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment and put yourself in Philemon's shoes. Think of one who has spurned you. One who has, for lack of a better term, turned their back on you, spit in your face, denied you. And as far as you're concerned, they can rot in hell. Now, that might be a little long, strong, I know. Forgive me if it comes across that way, but Onesimus had run away from Philemon, and very possibly, because Paul says, if he's taken anything, I'll repay it, has run away from Philemon, and now Paul is saying, he's come to know Jesus. So take the picture of the person that you would have on the wall that you would be throwing your darts at. and now put a halo around his head and realize he's come to know Jesus. Now, how many of us would say, oh, praise God, I've been praying for him. He comes to know Jesus, like Jesus tells us to do, pray for our enemies. And how many of us would be like, oh, no, not Onesimus. And so we see Paul's argument to Philemon is based on the fact and the important fact that Onesimus has come to know Christ. He no longer is a runaway slave. He now is your brother. Accept him and love him as a brother. Yeah, right, Paul. Do you see the favor that he's asking? You have to let go of what Philemon has done, open your arms to him, and hug him, accept him, receive him as a brother in Christ. Now, I want us to see, and that's why I put it in here, I want us to see the importance of this request. This is no small task for Philemon. And it is a big favor for Paul. Did you get that? Shake your head, come on. Don't fall asleep. Okay, you got that? But notice his request shows his heart. He talks about the fact, I am sending him who is my very heart back to you. I would have liked to have kept him with me so that he could take your place in helping me. He'd be useful to me while I'm in chains for the gospel. He could be running errands for me. He could be doing things for me. Oh, Onesimus would be such a help to me. But ultimately, he is my very heart. And so we recognize that Paul's plea for Philemon is a plea from the heart. Philemon, I need you to do this for me. And as difficult as what it could be for Philemon, Paul's making his request, not commanding him, but just simply appealing to him from his heart. Philemon, will you accept Paul back and forgive him? Or excuse me, no, will you accept Onesimus back and forgive him? Not as a slave who knows Jesus now, but even as a very brother in the Lord. Verse 16, perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good. Paul's argument is, Philemon, maybe the reason he ran away was so that he could come to know Jesus and then come back and be your brother. Not as a slave, but as your brother. Look at what God's done. Isn't it amazing the sovereignty of God? That God would, in his sovereignty, bring Onesimus to me, he'd come to know Jesus, and I could send him back to you. Isn't that amazing? And so we see Paul's request of Philemon. To forgive him, to set him free, to accept him, to set him free, and possibly even to send him back. Now, he doesn't specifically ask that. He just seems to indicate that he's useful to you, he'd be useful to me. The whole idea of verse 13, he would be helpful for, you know, he'd be helpful in helping me while I'm in chains. So lastly, I got a couple more. Number four, have a reason. Philemon's response could be, Paul, why should I let him go? Why should I do this? Look at what he's done to me. He's the one who ran away. He's the one who maybe has stolen my money. He's the one who has taken the time away, the work that he had to do, I had to do, or some other slave had to do. And so the response is, why would he have to do that? Let me give you three reasons. Number one, it's right. I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that in any favor you do would be spontaneous, not forced. I could have commanded you. I didn't command you. I'm appealing to you based upon your conscience and based upon my heart. I want you to do this for me, but I did not want to do anything without your consent, because this would be the right thing to do. And so, Philemon, I'm doing what's right. I'm sending him back to you. Secondly, it's reasonable. I did not want to do anything without you. Perhaps the reason was he was separated from you for a while and was that you might have him back for good. Philemon, can you see the good that's come of this? Here's the reason why you should accept him back. That God has taken his running away and he has made it good. He brought you back for good. Not as a slave, but as better than that, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. It's reasonable. And thirdly, I put down here, it's relational. You can relate to him now as a brother. He no longer is your slave who's ran away. He now is your brother who's come back. Would you receive him back again? And so we see Paul's argument to Philemon is the requirement that he gives in asking the favor is, here's the reason why. It's the right thing to do. It's reasonable. Now let me go to the number five, and my time is gone. So let me cover this as quickly as I can. Okay, if you're going to ask a favor, you need to have a relationship with the person based on their reputation, make your request be made known, have a reason for why you're asking in them, and then number five, have a response. I'll do this as quickly as I can. Verse 17. If you. Here's Paul's response. Okay, Philemon, I've presented my request. I'm asking the favor. Now, if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. So, Philemon, on you is, if you consider me as a fellow partner in Christ, then would you respond in this way? So the response is, if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. It's a tough request. Verse 18. Secondly, if he, all right, if you consider me a partner, then welcome him. If he has done anything wrong, if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything at all, charge it to me. Paul, put it on my account. What he did to you, charge it to me. Now, why can Paul say that? Because Paul was the one who led Philemon to the Lord. And so there is a sense in which he's able to say, Philemon, how deep is my account with you? If I was able to lead you to the Lord so that you know the forgiveness of God, you know the love of God, you've been demonstrating that in your life. If it's made a change in your life, what about Onesimus? If he's done anything wrong, charge it to my account. Charge it to me, and I will pay it back. And here it comes, the end of verse 19. Not to mention that you owe me your very self. So you want to hold his account? What about your account, Philemon? So the argument which Paul makes is, here's the response. If you consider me a partner, and if he has done anything wrong, then charge it to my account. And lastly, verse 5, if I will pay it back. Verse 20, I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. So ultimately at the end he says, Philemon, I'm asking you to do this as one to whom you already owe your salvation. But I'm confident of even better than that. I'm confident that you will refresh my heart in Christ. I'm confident that you will do that which is right. I'm confident that you will do even more than what I ask. And now verse 22, and one more thing, prepare a guest room for me because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Philemon, I'll be there soon to visit with you. Some scholars would say, to kind of check up on you, see how you and Philemon, you and Onesimus are doing. Paul's admonition here is one of the fact that Philemon, as a fellow brother in Christ, one more thing, prepare a guest room for me because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. I want to come and visit you. And then he ends it. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, sends you greetings. As do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. Boy, I wish I could take some time to separate that. All right, you have Mark, the one to whom Paul didn't want to minister to, Barnabas and Mark. Paul's saying now he's my good helper. You have Demas, the one to whom he says, Demas has deserted me and gone after the world. And Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit as you make this decision in what you have to do with Onesimus. And understanding the grace of God in our lives should help us in understanding and granting the grace of God to others in their lives. Amen? Amen. So Paul writes to Philemon and says, Philemon, I have a favor. Will you do this for me? And he ends it with, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with your spirit. Amen?